Scripture reading for today is from Psalm 100. A copy of the psalm can be found in your bulletin this morning. Please take the card as we read Psalm 100 in unison. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. And we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen.
There's a couple of reasons we had you join in the reading. You've got this to take home, to put as a marker in your Bible, to put on your bathroom mirror or your refrigerator, and you can, if you're so motivated, put the 100th Psalm to memory by using this card, and I encourage you to do that. Let us pray. Living God, help us to receive your holy word this morning that we may understand, believe, and follow you in faithfulness and obedience. We pray through Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 100 is one of the better known psalms. Many of us memorized it as children in Sunday school, a little different version than the NIV that we just read. It's brief, concrete, straightforward, plus it gives us specific direction as to what God would have us do. Four things that I see in Psalm 100 that are very clearly delineated. Shout for joy to the Lord. Worship the Lord with gladness. Know that the Lord is God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. All actions, well within our ability. So let's use these four actions as an outline to delve a little more deeply into Psalm 100 today. First, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. In his book, The 12, Walter Underwood tells of going to a Dallas Cowboys football game. He said he was seated in the end zone and could hardly see the players on the field. So frustrated by that, he started watching a man in the stands that was closer to the field than he was. And on just about every play, the man would jump up in his seat and point to one of the officials or a player and scream at the top of his lungs. Late in the fourth quarter, the score was tied and the Cowboys had the ball. It was now or never. And all of a sudden, the man in front of him stood up and looked at the fans behind him, and he began to lead a cheer. And Dr. Underwood saw the man's face for the first time. He was a member of his own congregation. And he thought to himself, I can't remember ever seeing him that animated on a Sunday. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands, is the first line of Psalm 100 in the Revised Standard Version that I, as a boy, was asked to memorize. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Don't just whisper or mumble or stand around. Don't be afraid you're going to disturb someone. Make noise, as they say on the Jumbotron at the games. Let the whole world know that the sovereign Lord of all is creation, has created us and is with us and loves us and wants us to interact with him. That's what Heather Entrekin would ask us to do. She says her husband also went to a football game, this time at his alma mater. With 2 minutes to go and the final outcome hanging in the balance, he called her on his cell phone and he held it up so she could hear the crowd noise. 108,000 fans filled the football stadium. Everyone on one side yelled, "We are," and you, those of you who are familiar with the blue and white know, on the other side, they yelled, "Penn State, we are Penn State." And she heard this on the telephone. Until the final buzzer sounded, it seemed that they never stopped shouting that. And the crowd left the stadium triumphant. Penn State won by 4 points on that day. There's something thrilling about shouting a declaration of belonging, says Heather. Fans who shout out who they are, claim their identity, their colors, their school, is admirable. Psalm 100, unless you're a Pitt fan, of course, Psalm 100 is about an even bigger kind of belonging. It's about being God's people, as though on Sunday mornings we should divide the place in half, and this side say, "We are," and this side say, "God's people." You think we ought to try that? Should do some shouting this morning? That's the good news of Psalm 100. That's the step that we should be taking. So as we shout for joy to the Lord, we worship the Lord with gladness. Okay, before you agree to that or think that's a pretty simple proposition, think about this. God is all-powerful. We are weak human beings. What do we have to really offer God? God is all-knowing. What tidbit of wisdom could we possibly share with God that God doesn't already know? All creation belongs to God, from the highest mountain range to the deepest ocean, from whole continents to the tiniest molecules. What can we possibly offer God in worship that God doesn't already have? So what does it mean to worship God? Well, let's boil it down to something simple. It means to give what you have as a symbol of devotion and gratitude. You have your time. We're giving God our time this morning, first and foremost. We're giving God our gratitude when we receive the offering in worship. We're giving God our praise and thanks as we sing and pray together. Reminds me of the old hymn, "Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh glowing ardor into the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have." Let's think of it this way. Think of a three-year-old who is painstakingly coloring pictures to give to his mother. Or he comes up to his mother with a dust cloth in hand to help clean the house. You think his mother is going to be critical? Do you think his mother is going to send him away? Of course not. In the same way, God is pleased with our gifts of love and devotion, no matter how small or crude. And to worship God is to bring who we are and to give what we have. It's also to rise from worship and serve others. Matthew 25, the parable of the great judgment, reminds us of Jesus' words, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit." Now, of course, last week, as I sat in the congregation, my voice was perfectly fine. I come home, and it's given me fits this morning. Jesus said to those who doubted they had ever done that, "Truthfully, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." So to worship the Lord with gladness is simply this: to give. to give away something that is ours so that others can benefit. Those who are struggling, those who are suffering, those in need. Psalm 100 goes on, know that the Lord is God. You may not be aware of it, but there are many, many different names for God in the Hebrew Bible. And this verse uses two of the main words, Yahweh and Elohim. Let me see. I have some cough drops. I got one. Yahweh and Elohim. Yahweh translated Lord. Elohim translated God. Know that the Lord is God. Know that Yahweh is Elohim. What the psalmist wants us to know is that the same God who watches over us and cares for us like a loving father or mother, Yahweh, is none other than the all-powerful God who brought creation itself into being, including us. The Lord is God. Yahweh is Elohim. Years ago, I heard a preacher say, one of the most liberating things you can ever learn is this. God is God, and you're not. In other words, it works two ways. First, it lifts the weight of the world from our shoulders and sets us free to try to be in control of everything. But it also reminds us that it's not all up to us. There are limits to power that we have and others have. So we are actually set free from feeling obligation to others. No matter how imposing or wise or powerful or prominent they may seem, they're not God either. God is God, and we are not. Remember the next time your world is going to pieces and everyone is looking to you to fix it. Remember it next time you're around a bunch of VIPs who act like they're in charge of the universe. There's a little passage in the first chapter of John's Gospel that sums it up nicely. A delegation goes to visit John the Baptist while he's ministering along the Jordan, and they say, "Who are you?" And John confesses, "I am not the Messiah. I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness." John knew that he was not God. We should know that we are not God. That's what the psalmist reminds us of when he says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his." And the psalm writer encourages us to be mindful of all of God's gifts, to be thankful, and how important that is. I don't know if this is scientifically proven, but I once heard that it's virtually impossible to be stressed out and thankful at the same time. Something to do with our chemistry inside of us. So try this. In the midst of a stressful day, take a one-minute break, find a quiet place, breathe deeply, hold your breath for a few seconds, exhale slowly, and relax, and think about all the things you have to be thankful for. And the stress will disappear. What are you most thankful for today? Well, here's a short list that I can offer. I'm thankful to be alive. Consider the alternative to that. We could have no potential of doing creative, constructive, beneficial things, even if it's only to feed my dog when I get up in the morning. I'm thankful for the gift of time. Each of us has 24 hours a day. None of us, no more, no less. And we can use it in almost any way we choose. I'm thankful for the air I breathe, the water I drink, the food I eat. They sustain me. I'm thankful for the gift of color. I couldn't imagine one of the beautiful sunsets in our neighborhood in black and white. This wouldn't be right. I'm thankful for the gift of music. It warms my heart. It feeds my spirit. I'm thankful for earthworms that till the soil and 1,000 other creatures working day and night in harmony with the earth. I'm thankful for the rotation of the earth, for night and day, for the seasons, Boy, am I thankful that the season of winter doesn't last forever, aren't you? Spring is on its way. More than anything else, I'm thankful for a God who loves me, warts and all, and a God who has sent his only Son to redeem me. Go ahead, when you get home, list other things that you're thankful for, but above all, realize how God has proven his love once and for all through the death and resurrection of Jesus to open the door to a loving, lasting relationship with God. When Henry Mancini, the West Aliquippa songwriter, turned 65, his daughter Felice composed a little poem to give to her father. He, of course, being Henry Mancini, set it to music. And the Carpenters, brother-sister duo, remember them? They liked it so well, they recorded it. It goes something like this. Sometimes, not often enough, we reflect upon the good things, and those thoughts always center around those we love. And I think about those people who mean so much to me, who for so many years have made me so very happy. And I count the times I have forgotten to say thank you and just how much I love them. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, dear friends. Marvel at God's gifts and never, ever forget to say thank you. Amen. If you're able, please rise and join in.